Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome! You are handsome and beautiful and filled with the giftedness that God has given you, and we celebrate that you are being faithful to this unique talent and that you are the number one orchestra in America, having received America's Gift Award 4 years in a row. Woo! So, Mr. Steve Hyde, we thank you and your team for coming. Jacob, for helping to coordinate and bring this together for us. Isn't it wonderful to sing when they are playing? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine was my favorite hymn when I was growing up in First Baptist Burney, Texas, and it didn't quite sound like this. But the lyrics just jump off the page and into your heart of the promise of God that we have a story and we have a song. Provided by God, being filled in the Holy Spirit, where the very character of God is seeking to shape us into His image. Walking in the ways of Jesus Christ and under His power, then the presence of Christ forms our personalities and our character to be uniquely who we are, but unified in His purpose. And as different as we are from each other, that we may experience a unity together. 17 different instruments make up the sections of percussion and wind, brass and string, and with an amazing synchronicity, 104 performers performing in unity. The kind of unity that Paul would write about from prison to a leading church in the Roman Empire. There is Paul, who had lived 3 years in Ephesus, the leading cultural city in that part of the empire, and he had reached maybe 3 million people through the course of his ministry there, because it was a port where people went from Asia to Europe. It was a place where people stayed and studied at the famous Library of Celsus. It was there at that location that Paul was able to speak in these different languages of Greek and Hebrew and in Latin. The sense of letting his life to be shaped as a servant of God in order to serve the purposes of God in our life. And the same is true for you and me. God positions us just where the very purpose that he has for us to be lived out where we are and as we go. The character of God enables us then to be formed by the Spirit. Whatever stage of life we're in, and wherever we travel, not being one person on Wednesday and a different person on Sunday, that's what bruises the Holy Spirit. Richard Foster put it this way. Richard said that virtue is the habit of moral excellence. That virtue is the habit of moral excellence. Virtue is the very character of God, like nobility and truthfulness and honesty and excellence and praiseworthy and love. The very character of God then becomes shaped in our life, being poured into our life by the Spirit that comes to give us comfort and counsel and conviction of sin. God loves us so much that when we are not being a reflection of His best within our life, we're not being true to the best of who we truly want to be, we're cheapening ourselves with sin, then God loves us enough to come with a conviction of the Spirit. And to say, you're better than that. I remember when I was a boy, my mother came home early one afternoon, and I wasn't expecting her. She stepped into the room, and she says, That's all she needed to say. I knew there was a higher expectation for me. The Spirit comes when necessary to give us that kind of guilt and the awareness that if we go public with that part of who we are, we will experience a shame into the kingdom of God. But he wants to reveal his glory through our uniqueness. Now imagine if the percussions and the wind and the brass and the string didn't play their parts in harmony with each other. It wouldn't sound anything like what we've heard this morning. That kind of discord creates confusion and chaos. And so it is, God says, in the unity of the church, we are to be in a harmony with each other. That's why in the opening verses that were read for us by Tatiana and by Sarah is the statement out of Ephesians 4:20 and 5:1-2. That, however, was not the way of life that you learned. He's having to write and warn them, these leaders in Ephesus. He's saying, you are better than this. I've been able to affirm and commend you, but there's some practices that are going on that are just wrong. It's not what you have been taught by my teaching of the Spirit. Now, what is this? But it's a dearly loved children that walk in the way of love. Christ is love. That's what you've been taught. And then he lays out very specific behavior that has gotten them off course. And the good news is that, one, they are loved as children. They are loved as the promises of God at work in their life. And God is always seeking to build about the very best. Eleanor lives in our neighborhood. And earlier in her life, she was transformed by one of the ministries in our church, coming to a faith in Christ, and her life went here and there in different directions. And now one of the ministries of our church is reaching out to her every week, and she came to us to say, I want to say thank you. Well, here is Eleanor saying thank you.
Hi, my name is Eleanor Crawford. I know a lot of you probably don't know me out there, but I know a lot of you through the Meals on Wheels program and through other things that other people that come to my house and talk to me about Trinity. No, it's not the kind of thing where if you don't have a church, come join our church, or if you don't have a church, we want you to switch churches. These people honestly believe in what they do for you. They help you. They have compassion for you. Whether you come to their church or not, they're still gonna pray for you. I need to let this congregation know that they need their roses while they can smell them. They've done amazing with me, and I love each and every one of them. And to honestly, when I get my Meals on Wheels and there's a little vase with some flowers in it that maybe was left from that Sunday, honey, bring me them flowers, because I'm going to nourish them. I've been blessed to where I've had some really, really special people in my life besides the Meals on Wheels. Norm and Ernie and Clayton, and then I just let Gabe. But these are people that will help you in your community, but they don't know if you don't tell them. And I got a ramp built because I asked God. I didn't go to bed at night. People be putting numbers up under their bed. I'm playing lottery. I'm like, I just said, God, help me with what I need. Supply my every needs, and I will do whatever you want me to do. So this is my way of letting you, as Trinity Baptist Church, as well as your minister and your whole congregation, I love you.
Couldn't you hear the smile in her soul as she was sharing? And even when the tear began to move into her expression of this gratitude, we could feel the depth of how God was shaping her life and how some of that shaping was happening by a unity at work in our lives as an imperfect church family serving a perfect God. As a family in the midst of who we are in our own humanity, but being formed and fashioned by the promises of Christ, not just for our benefit, but for our benefit of sharing God's hope out in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. That's the joy of living. We bruise the Holy Spirit when we try to keep this to ourselves, when we become selfish instead of self-giving, when we aren't sacrificial, but we ask only, what is it for me? And so the promise of the Spirit comes by giving God our hurt and our hope. Eleanor took her hurt and lifted it as a hope to God. And the voice of God spoke to her where she knew that she was going to be bruising. She'd be withholding from the Spirit of God if she didn't say thank you. She implored for the opportunity to share what she just shared. And how she edifies, that's the New Testament word for builds up. How she builds us up then in the promise of what she provides. So here's the good news. Though God will love us enough to say, don't do that, where there's always a do before the NT. There's always, here's what you can do, here is what is possible, and pursue it, and you won't get distracted by the NT of the don't. With God, there's always a do. This do is what God provides for us to be able to enjoy. This is the promise of when he said to us, care and be involved. But part of the work of bruising the spirit is when once we've been upset, we have been frustrated, maybe we have felt a violation of God's value. That is when we should be angry. We should be angry when the ways of God are not being enacted in ways they should be enacted with love and care and joy and promise. But once anger has shown itself, then we need to let go of it. Otherwise, it becomes like a consuming fire. It has served its purpose. It has served a purpose that virtue has been violated. Value needs to be emphasized and lived out. Because anger in itself is not redemptive. It will show that the pathway of God is under a threat, but it's only by the redeeming love of God that that threat can be dealt with. We must give God then our hurt and our hope. And by giving God our hurt and our hope, then we have given him so that he may shape it. It's among the best known lines in the New Testament. Be angry, but sin not. Don't let your anger still be alive when the sun is going down. And don't let the devil get a foothold in your life through anger. That's what happened. The first murder of a brother to a brother was Cain against Abel. The book of Hebrews lays it out. Because Cain was angry with his brother and angry with God, he then killed his brother Abel. Anger then moved to the level of a force into an action of destructive power. And so when, as a couple, are upset with each other, or when two workers or two friends are ticked with each other, say, what's going on? What's the hurt? What's the hope that we can build on? And really listen to each other. I have a friend who owns a restaurant, and he was telling me one day, he said, I know. I'm not supposed to let anger, the sun go down on my anger. And so the other night, he said, I just said to my wife, I need to go to sleep. Whatever it is, I'm sorry. Can we go to sleep now? You know. In kind of a joking way of saying that somewhere in the heart, there's a desire to say, let's get beyond this. But we can't cover it up, but we can talk it through. And that's what he's saying. What I have seen as a pastor for more than 40 years, that a basic cause of sin in human relationships is motivated by anger. It's motivated by a hurt that has not been healed, a hope that has not been claimed, and by anger, people will do things they would not do otherwise, though we are responsible when we do them. Getting control of this is essential. Now, bruising the spirit it's like the first stage of grieving the Holy Spirit. Bruising the spirit is when we're not allowing then the attitude of Christ to be formed in our lives. And you think, well, how do I do that? Really, come on. Well, Paul lays it out in Ephesians 4:23. By we giving God our hope and our hurt, then he says to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Now, the word attitude is literally the word spirit, the pneuma, the spirit of your minds. There is a partnership that you may have with the Holy Spirit. And you, as you form your attitude, that's the virtue. And as you're choosing your attitude, nobody forces your attitude. As you choose your attitude, then you're choosing to partner with the Spirit of God to shape you and to fill you with that promise. When we give forgiveness, we are letting the Spirit flow. When we have received forgiveness, but we don't give forgiveness, then we are bruising that spirit. Many of us have driven along mountain roads, and when you're moving along a mountain road, you know there's sometimes only about a foot wide of gravel to the right. Hopefully there's a guardrail around those sharp turns. And when you hit the gravel, you've got a warning which is there. And the warning that is there is saying, watch out, because you're about to go over. Now, if we hit the guardrail, we've gone too far. We weren't paying attention, but we're still in the early stage before a disaster will strike. And God comes with an awareness, with a warning system called by this bruising of the grieving. We're already in having gone too far, where we're not yet over the edge. And so he speaks about a stubbornness, a hardness of heart. Now here's how that works. This attitude allowing the Spirit of God to help change, to help shape how we think. Do you remember the story, as many of you may recall, the story in the Old Testament about Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened and would not listen to Moses? It was helpful one day, as I was really stepping into the Hebrew of that passage, that there were three stages of what happened, three different Hebrew words of what happened to Pharaoh. Paul is using the same imagery here in Ephesians. That is, first, when we resist, when Pharaoh resisted the message of Moses. When we resist this teaching of the Scripture, we resist a healing of God, we resist grace in our life. That resistance will put us into a stubbornness. It's probably not with you or you or you, but maybe some of us. Once we've made a commitment to say, this is how it is, I know it's how it is, and you realize, wait, I was wrong. That's not how it is. What do you do? How do you come back and say, I was wrong? Well, the humility of spirit and heart comes back to say, I was wrong. That moves from the resistance and not into stubbornness. But if we don't move out of stubbornness and we just let that become our habit, our way of being bitter and deceitful and gossiping, you know what gossip is? It's stealing someone else's reputation. It's being a thief in someone else's life. And Paul was saying this is what will destroy an individual and destroy the lives of other people. And so the warning system goes off before the hardening. And the grieving of the Holy Spirit is when we are full into the sin. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit, which is the liberating seal of your redemption. God has placed a seal over your life when you say yes to Jesus Christ. When you say yes to Christ's promise in your life, He has reached into you and shaped you and formed you with the power of the first day of creation to make you in the fullness of His image. And as you say to Christ, I believe in you and I commit myself to you and I will follow you, then that's the seal of His promise. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are damaging the seal. The salvation is not lost, but the power of the salvation is damaged. And that God says there is a better way, and to live that way by walking. So we give our hurts and hopes to God and for Him to shape us. We are aware of not to bruise the Holy Spirit, to move into the full grieving of the Holy Spirit. And then we move into the walking. That's the pathway of Christ's conditions for us truly to be God's fruit, growing character in our life. It's a sign of the Spirit-filled life. And so He will say, as dearly loved children, walk in the ways of love, Christ love. Bill Peel's, Bill and Trish were wonderful members of our church, and they're making a move to Oklahoma, and I was visiting with Bill in my office the other day, and I said, Bill, tell me the story one more time. He said, okay. He was 14 years old, living in the midst of poverty in Crosbyton, Texas, just 40 miles east of Lubbock. He was out over a weekend staying with his buddy, his football pals, out on the farm, and they'd been hunting during the night. They came in to eat some dry oats, and the dad was out there on his tractor, and he was plowing, and his buddy's mother had died just a few months earlier. And they're there, and then his buddy pulls out their .22 that they'd been using and aims it at Bill. And Bill says, don't do that, don't do that. Well, accidentally, the trigger went off, and Bill was shot. What saved Bill's life is that, one, the bullet went through his hand and into his chest, but did not penetrate his heart. But to this very day, he carries that bullet next to his heart. A couple of years ago, some of you will recall that Bill had a kind of a mild heart attack, if there was such a thing as a mild heart attack. It was at the hospital, and he was coming out, and they were in the hospital room, and the doctor came in and said, "Mr. Peel, did you know that you had a bullet right next to your heart?" And he said, "It wasn't there before. What did you do?" All his life, he's remembered the grace of God that he was alive. But you know what Bill also says? He says, sometimes it pays to be poor. Because for 30 cents, you could have bought, back then, you could have bought a whole box of the long-shelled 22 bullets. 25 cents, you get kind of the medium power. And if you're real poor like we were, you could only afford a 20-cent box of shells, and they were pretty cheap. It was a good thing. It was a cheap bullet that was going into my body. Knowing how to say thank you, which is exactly what Bill was saying, was allowing the virtue of God, forgiveness, the virtue of gratitude of being alive, the virtue of a stewardship to have lived so long when he could have died so young, the virtue of not being bitter about being poor, the sense of the virtue of a character of God shaping him by his faith in Christ was a sign of the joy of the Lord, of a Spirit of God. Don't bruise the Holy Spirit. For let the Holy Spirit give you the fullness of your best life, made possible by Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. I mean, let's pray together, and then let's stand together. Lord, you are moving in so many ways in our midst, in music, in prayer, in scripture, in the message, visiting with people before the service, and being next to people in the midst of the worship. Being here is a very diverse group of people, but unified in the unity of worship. And so you have a common desire for us to know you as Savior and to feel the joy and the power of following you as Lord, empowered by your Spirit. So as we step into our response song, may we step into our obedience, not to bruise how you're leading us, but to say yes, and we will follow. By way of Christ. Amen. Vicki, if you'll stand here, and Sarah, if you'll stand there, and as we have again an amazing music experience, it's not about the excellence of the instruments or even the wonder of your voice. It's about the openness of your heart. Amen. To be led by God. To truly say yes, Christ. To say, I need family. To step into the life and a membership in the life of the Trinity family, or for someone to pray with you, for Vicki or Sarah to pray with you, or I'll pray with you, or you can come and kneel here to pray with you. Let's stand together and let's respond.
Let's sing together. Take my life and let it be. Take my life and let
Tatiana, would you please stand with me? Well, first, she led us in the scripture reading with Sarah this morning. But Tatiana has been a part of our church family in terms of serving in our children's ministry. She graduated from the Baptist University of America and is now a student at Logsdon Seminary on our campus. She's part of our Logsdon Seminary ministry preparing while also serving in the moment. She's a native of Moldova, where she came to faith in Christ. We have been touched, Tatiana, by your spirit, your faithfulness, the joy of your life. We're glad now that we get to make it all formal in a covenant of faith to be together in the Trinity family as brothers and sisters in Christ. And all God's family says, amen, rejoice. Thank you. Following our service, we'll have a reception in the Fanning Foyer, and you'll be able to visit with Tatiana there. You will be given a unique opportunity to stay for a few minutes after the benediction because the postlude we played in a very moving spirit way. David, as you come and offer our prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.